Good afternoon, councillors.
Oh, good evening.
Sorry.
Good night.
Okay, we'll get off to start then. I could maybe somebody pass our thanks on to Cathedral Kitchen for our Christmas dinner and for everybody that was involved in putting that on for us. Can we take any apologies?
Usher, Person Cook for Dermot Curran.
Laura Devon, Councillor Gary Stokes.
Larry
Harris. Yeah, we've got Larry Harris. Anyone else? Okay. And then Chairman's remarks. And so we've had our Christmas switch-ons, which has been good fun for me anyway. All the Santas I've got to meet. I think I have more fun moving than some of the children. And there's only one. All right. All the agents. And it was a big month for us too with the opening of the new leisure centre in Downpatrick. I must say it's a fantastic job. I've been to it a few times and used the facilities, which are my own private swimming pool up in the Vitality Suite. Was a nice addition for the chairperson. And then we also had the size of it for those that haven't seen it. We had received a delegation from the Jilin province in China, so it's a province where Changchun is. So it was great to have them here so quickly after our own visit to their state. And again, we're greeting more Chinese visitors this month as well, this week. So anyway, so can we take any declarations of interest? Oh, sorry, just on the leisure centre, we've doubled our numbers of membership already. From the old centre to the new centre, so that's fantastic news for us, and we're striving to get to the numbers that we have in Uri. I'll have to allow them into it, yeah. Any declarations of interest? No? Okay. So the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 5th of November 18th, so really.
Yeah, Chairman, happy to take any queries. The actions there are noted. I have no update really on it in terms of any of them. Some correspondence has come through on some of them tonight and included in the papers. But happy to take any questions, Chairman, or any points.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Andrews. Just thanks so much, Chair. And in relation to the motion at the table last month in relation to PIP, it's good to say that the PERM SAC at the Department of Education has started an acknowledgement, and hopefully we'll be looking more than acknowledgement at the next meeting. As I say, as we're all aware, PIPs is a very emotional issue, and there's been a local caller has been affected by part of the assessment process, which everybody's seen. So hopefully that's the start of an overall Luton branch review. It's long overdue if it happens.
Right, thank you, Councillor Andrews. So we'll move on to the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of November 2018 for accuracy. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Mm-hmm. So opposed? Councillor Rowan, Councillor Burgess. Any matters arising? No. Now we'll move on to the minutes of special council meeting held on the 22nd of October. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. The proposer and signer? Are you proposing, Councillor Quinn?
No.
No. Councillor Rowan? Second. Signer, Councillor Hannah? Councillor Quinn.
Yes, Chair. It was just a point from that meeting. The way that it was announced, while it was very good news for the South Eastern Trust that they had recruited a new consultant to serve that area, I think it would have been only fair that the Southern Trust should have announced that they had lost a consultant, because at that meeting an awful lot of the councillors had already left when the business of the Southern Trust was done, and it didn't give them any chance to question or get any information about the loss of a consultant from Daisy Hill Hospital, which councillors were very concerned with in the past, and their ability to recruit consultants to serve that hospital.
No. That was a healthy one. Yeah, no, it's the right one. Yeah, it's the right one. Okay, Councillor Glenn, thank you. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, if I could just make a comment. I know that the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service gave a presentation at that meeting, and I unfortunately was out of the country at that meeting at a niece's wedding. But I'd just like to reinforce the point about ambulance response times. And what really has brought it to focus was just last week in Ballinahinch, an elderly gentleman tripped crossing the road, and on the pavement he bumped his head and lay motionless, and I was just immediately on the scene. The ambulance was called, and after a short time the police arrived, but the ambulance wasn't there until after 48 minutes. Now I know there's another guy who was in liaison with the ambulance service all this time, and they may have degraded it from a category A to category B, but nevertheless, and that category B is serious but not life threatening. The problem is that their response time is supposed to be less than 21 minutes for category B, and it was 48 minutes, as I say, which is more than double the time. I tried to ring Mr. Bloomfield a couple of times and no response. And I'm just saying, Chair, and I know that yourself, Chair, you've been interviewed by UTV about ambulance response times, as I have been myself, but the ambulance service have cancelled, I think, on at least three occasions to be interviewed. They've had a meeting set up, and then have come to admit they've cancelled the meeting, or cancelled the interview with UTV. So, Chair, I think it just brings into focus the points that were made at that meeting, and I will continue to lobby, but I think this council really needs to continue to lobby because our rural areas, I know I'm speaking for all councillors here representing rural areas, it's just not acceptable. These are life and death issues, and it's just not acceptable, Chair. So I think we need to do all we can to get a meaningful response and get the from the ambulance service.
I think we'll do well to get a response to the consultation that's on at the moment. Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Chairman. Yeah, it was just on the ambulance issue. There has been a number of very disappointing performances by them, but it's not the lack of machines, it's the lack of trained crew, and the fact that they have recruited those additional 50 paramedics, we need to be making sure that we get the first share of them down here. Chairman, also the first responder issue that I raised, very big response to it, and I would like the council to follow it up. I think we are following up through the Mourns DEA group, but that is something that the council should follow up in its entirety, because they are doing marvellous work in certain areas, and I look forward to coming to fruition in Mourne, and I hope that the council will do all they can to help us.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. So we'll move on then to the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 29th of October. Again, for accuracy, so page 1, 2, 3, and 4. Councillor McMahon proposed, Councillor Anna seconded. Any matters arising? No. And we'll move on to the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee, held on the 12th of November. Again, for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Councillor Burgess, the seconder. We have a seconder, folks. Councillor McMahon. Any matters arising? No. We'll move on to the minutes then of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held in the...
Sorry, Chairman, just to take you back, in terms of the previous minute, you were at the road service meeting. Could we maybe get somebody that was... need somebody at the meeting to propose it? Maybe you were recorded on, were you? Yeah. All right. No, need to correct the minutes that you were at the meeting then. Sorry. Just, okay. Just for the record, Chairman, that's all right. Yeah.
No, she wasn't at the local. No.
Okay, we just never get just proposer.
Sorry, can we get a proposer for the minutes of the special council meeting with the road service? Councillor Savage?
Councillor Howell.
All right. Okay.
Sorry.
Did you want something on the...
No, that's all right.
Okay, so then we'll move on to the minutes of the
Strategy,
Policy and Resources Committee, again for accuracy.
Chairman, it was just on the road service meeting.
We're past it.
That's all right then.
That's okay. Well, I think we went through it in the normal way. We just got the wrong proposer. So, again, for accuracy, SPNR, so page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Opposed, Councillor Hyland, second, Councillor Burgess. Have we any matters arising? No. So we'll move on then to the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities Committee. I held on the 19th of November 2018. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13. A proposer and seconder. Councillor Hyland. Councillor Hyland.
Just, Chairman, just maybe to update on a couple of matters arising, just coming from it. We were supposed to have a paper on the handball and squash court provision. We're still working that paper and hope to bring back a paper to the AHC on that, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. And the other matters arising, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thanks on that. And really, this is around the any service level agreements or the non-service level agreements for some of the community centres. And just looking at that report, I would be slightly apprehensive about certain aspects of it, in that I'm not calling into question the report, but certainly in the outworkings of it, because I see that there is a proposal that the current level of spending and grant aid enjoyed by the 14 community currently the community-owned centres, they will potentially have serious cuts to the current level of award, which is about an average of $2,500 each. if the level of interest comes in from the criteria proposed for so-called active communities, so we need to be very careful of that, that the current struggling, especially the rural community centres, who don't avail of the same level of commitment from the council and other outside bodies as the urban ones. There's a great danger here that those centres will end up being squeezed and actually will have difficulty in surviving. So I would just caution on that. And I know there's been some attempt at trying to define what an active community centre is. But I would just caution that not every hole in the wall in the areas will be deemed a community centre and will receive funding, and for the reasons that I'm talking about, because there's no plans, I don't think, in the coming year to increase the amount of money that we're putting in from the rates estimates into this particular fund unless we take a decision otherwise. But I would just ask for that to be given a careful decision going forward.
Okay, Councillor, we'll ask Janine to have a look at that. Okay. Anything else? Councillor O'Mara.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Just on Newtown Play Park fencing. It was just an issue that I raised at AHC. Sort of went through a couple of different reasons as to why there should be questions asked about spending £20,000 on a catch net and replacing the gate at Jimstein Park. One of the issues I had raised was that it kept flooding, that the park keeps flooding. In the week following the active and healthy communities meeting, it flooded again. It flooded. I sent an email today to the director and the assistant director. It flooded for 5 days out of the 7 last week. The local people are at a complete loss as to why there will be £20,000 of rate bills. Well, £20,000 is coming out of the play strategy. At the original public consultation meeting, when we were talking about remedial works that would need to happen at either of the site in Newtown, it was explained that any money that would be taken for remediative works would be taken out of the money to be spent on the play park in Newtown. So look, I'm just raising it again here about, can there be any guarantee given to the people in Newtown that when all this money, £20,000 of a catch net and a new fence and everything else, and in a brand new park you won't have it, there's not going to flood the day it opens? Cormoise.
Chairman, we'll bring back, I'll get that to be checked out in terms from the contractors doing that there to see what the issue is, and we'll bring back a paper to the next AHC meeting on it.
Councillor Shaw.
Yeah, Chair. I'm just wanting some expansion on the update from the Chief Executive around the handball and squash. I know, obviously, we're currently working through options, and his update did include that a report would come to AHC. But I'm wanting assurances that when it does come to AHC, that it's with a final solution. I know we're working with a contractor currently with the challenges that we face, but are we going through and looking at alternative options if Plan A doesn't work out and that there is a Plan B?
Chairman, if we want to talk about the issue itself, we need to go into committee, but I don't know if that's what the councillor requires. But what I'm saying is we're working through the options as discussed in the paper to bring forward our proposals for the way forward at this point in time.
Okay.
Does that satisfy you? Does it?
So we're working through the current option that we're facing with the scenario off the wall, but we're not looking at alternative options in the event that this cannot be rectified.
Chairman, if we can deliver what was originally designed and proposed, then there's no requirement for the second option.
Yeah.
If that can't be delivered, then we need to look at that, but we haven't exhausted that issue as yet.
And will the exhaustion of that, will that be included in the report that comes to the next AHC? Because I don't want this to come to the next AHC in January to be told that we can't do what the contractor is working on now, then to wait another month to wait for a decision to be made on what we can do alternatively. It's really to come to the next month with this is what we're going to do.
Chairman, the meeting's in December, by the way, just in terms of the
December, sorry.
So the idea is to bring a resolution to it in December, one way or the other. But again, you know, I don't want preempting any kind of discussion on it, you know.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to the minutes of the Regulatory Technical and Services Committee held on the 21st of November. Again, for accuracy, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy?
Gillian.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Opposed.
Seconder.
Councillor
Clark. Okay. Any matters, or do you want to do that? Do you want to give us an update then on?
Oh yeah. Yes, Chairman, just in terms of matter raising in regarding to Herbalac for ECIDB, we submitted the application form and a quick turnaround has been approved. So we have now been involved in the first session on which is dealing with the circular economy, and again both the chair and the director are attending the first meeting
which will be held in the middle of December. Again, as I said, all costs, participation costs, i.e. travel and accommodation, is being covered by the European Union and the Latin American International Bank. So just to bring an update, not sure.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. On page 4, I just want to raise a point about the commercial waste. And I know there's a review into this and a report going to come back early next year. And I spoke with a number of the officers over the last couple of months in relation to the cost of Down Recycling Centre. And I understand on the review they're going to look at continuing to accept commercial waste, but it's a limited number of sites. And I accept Councillor Clark has put in a request for van drivers who dispose of rubbish for household and people of the public, for them to be given a permit. But I'd rather see, you know, that maybe is the bottom line, but even in Crossbridden Recycling Centre, even certain days, whether it's one day a week, where we can take in household, large household items. And I'm talking about fridges, sofas and the likes, of which I was in the recycling centre and I've brought this up time and time again. We spend money on a fantastic facility. We're hitting great targets in the recycling, but we're turning away people, and I was in the recycling centre when we turned away people with white household goods, like a fridge and a cooker. And 20 minutes later, it's dumped down the side of the road, down the Caspian Road, in a legal dump. So if we're really serious about tackling the issue that was brought up as a motion last month and talking about working cross-border, we need to make the recycling centres more accessible. And if we're in this review to look at crossing the line, being able to accept household waste in vans, and I think common sense will prevail going forward.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor McAteer.
Again, I would support Councillor Byrne that as well. And I don't know if you referred, I was looking at all the notes there. If you referred to the 25 kilos of rubble, I think that would be a dangerous road to go down in specifying that type of rate, because that's, you know, the more dust in the turn up your trousers than you get it up at that. But this review, and maybe it's a timely juncture to
order councillors.
Sorry, I can hardly hear myself, sure.
Yeah.
Which is disturbing. But there are particular areas used by fly tippers, and throughout the Cod Leave area, seen by regular spots. So I know, and the staff have responded admirably, I must say, and quickly to request to have various items of household waste, etc., removed. But the public have been asking me, you know, what action has been taken to identify and prosecute those or find those who are doing this. But it also begs the question then is why is this happening? And if there are specific areas, can we do something, you know, to jog the conscience of the people who are maybe going to regular quiet areas to do the dumping? Or can we have some sort of technology to maybe identify these areas and identify the culprits in them as well? I'd also like to know really how much have we spent, you know, on that waste recovery, you know, from those particular areas, how much taxes it's cost every year. It strikes me that the guys in the van are very, very busy and they're picking this stuff up on a weekly, normal, I presume even roll probably on a daily basis, you know. I think they're as frustrated as everybody else in this, but it's a major issue, you know. But I do wonder what is going on. Are some of them put off by maybe some of the operatives in the sites? I'm not blaming them, but I'm wondering, is there aspects of separation that maybe we could be in some form or other, we could maybe try and encourage more than discourage the, you know, the use of the recycling facilities and become a bit more user friendly. People are probably just lazy and not, you know, not conform, but when you take the balance of, you know, what it costs to send a van out and pick all the stuff, just stop up with one or two men doing it, versus a bit of time maybe spent in the recycling facility advising people how to separate them so that they're not turned away or whatever. But I do think that would be a better piece of work that would be worthy of carrying out in the middle of this operation review. Okay.
Okay, Ron, would you like to respond to those two?
Thank you, Chair. Well, just on the crossing of the NHRC with the commercial aspect and on the 25 kgs and a bit the general review itself, the solicitor's view that we do hold a special workshop for all councillors to get your input into what you want this service to look like. So our plan at this point is to hold that in early January before taking a paper back through RTS with the output of that workshop so we can take on board what this council wants to see as part of this service. In relation to the flight, I mean, obviously I don't know those figures in terms of costs at this point, Councillor McAteer, but I can obtain that from our officers and report back.
I know the members of the public have had it in, you know, addresses that were found on the site. So, like, what sort of problems you have there, or even success rate, or, you know, in following that up and dealing with it?
Yes, Chair, we do have those figures as well. Again, sorry, I don't have them with me this evening. We can get them for you. One thing I would say is that the fly tipping protocol, which is in draft format with NIEA, with all councils, is currently being reviewed with a view to give councils more powers in terms of enforcement action that we can take. Currently, we can only undertake through the letter order. Now we should be able to, once the protocol is implemented, we'll have wider powers and wider and larger fines that we can apply. But as I say, that process is ongoing. When we have the revised protocol to the stage, we'll present it to elected members for approval, but we're not at that point yet.
Okay, thank you, councillors. We'll move on to correspondence. Some correspondence received, regrettably, from the Kensington Palace regarding the Duke and Duchess's visit to Newry. Councillor McCauley?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that item. Although I'm initially disappointed that we won't be able to welcome the Royal Highnesses to our district at this moment in time, I welcome the response. Whilst we obviously would be welcome at an early visit, I do understand that there's an extremely busy schedule and an impending birth of their first child. So yeah. I'll be certainly hoping that we will be in a position to give the Baron and Baroness of Cloquhill a very warm welcome in the future whenever the opportunity arises coming back to Northern Ireland.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. Anyone else there? Now we'll move on to replies received in relation to the Council's motion on citizens' rights post-Brexit. Jennifer Noden. Okay, and then we have a consultation document on the seasonal clock changes.
Yeah, Chairman, some notes that we put forward again in terms of potential impact for our citizens. So on point two, you see that we have done a draft response regarding the implications that it may have for if there was different time zones between the north and the south of Ireland.
Councillor O'Reilly.
Yeah, Chairman.
Yes.
It just seems a bit incredible that we would, or the EU would try and impose such bizarre rules on the British Isles. And, you know, we have a common travel area. Surely the goodness we can maintain a common time area as well. It would be absolutely ridiculous to make a difference anywhere within these islands. And, I was listening to the news yesterday and they were talking about Dublin Airport. You know, air travel between these two islands is growing. And 42% of every flight that goes out of Dublin Airport goes into mainland UK airport, or from the Republic to GB. So to even consider separating or putting barriers up there to travel and transport and business within these islands would be ridiculous. And we should be asking the Irish government to make sure that they get some form of exemption from the EU to make sure that they don't impose their will on the Republic to create two different time zones. Thank you.
Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say, I mean, I think it's crazy to even think of changing it for... I mean, the main reason being safety issue. Like, there was an experiment done a lot of years ago, and sending school children out in the dark in the morning definitely wouldn't work. And I mean, even to change it in summertime. I mean, the way we're doing it at the minute, I think, works perfectly well. There's no need to change it, no matter what anybody else does. I'd be fighting to keep it as is, because I think it's the safest way. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for the our consultation response?
Proposer.
Councillor McAteer. Councillor O'Hara. Thank you. And we'll move on to our... Sorry, is everybody in agreement with that?
We've raised the issues with it in terms of, I suppose, indirectly, if that's what I'm saying, is that it would be crazy to get three dead zones. We've been asked for comments in response to the three questions. We provided comments in regard to the three questions. Yeah.
Yeah. So, is it all in agreement then? Okay, we'll take it to our own agreement. So, have you noticed a motion for us? Okay, notice a motion from the Housing Symposium. Name of Councillor Savage, Devlin, Casey, Clark, Highland, Taylor, Walker, and McMurray. Councillor Savage.
Yes, sir. Just in relation to the motion wording that's in the FLAR, it's the draft version that was sent back in October, and there's a revised version. The councillors who signed the motion, it's the revised version that should have appeared on the 21st of.
Okay. Do you want the chief executive to read the revised?
I'm hoping to read it.
Do you want to read? Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, sure. The motion reads: against the backdrop of a growing social and affordable housing crisis in Uri City and across the district, this council agrees to hold a major social and affordable housing conference in Uri in February 2019. The Department of Communities, the Housing Executive, and all stakeholders within the housing sector and associated support services. Service providers will be invited to attend this event, which will have the aim of providing opportunities for collaboration to provide short, medium and long-term solutions to tackle the social and affordable housing crisis in Uri and across the district.
Okay.
Chair, I'm very grateful, first of all, to all the members of all the party groupings in this chamber who supported me in tabling this motion and put their names to it. It demonstrates to the citizens of this district and to the people responsible for providing social and affordable housing that this council is committed to assisting where it can in tackling the growing housing crisis in this city and district. This motion builds on the successful housing symposium we had last January, and the motion I proposed in April prioritising social housing in the planning process and the asset management review, which every member in the chamber supported. The aim of this conference is to get all the key decision makers and strategists responsible for delivering against social and affordable housing need under the one roof for a day to improve cross-cutting collaboration and the sharing of ideas to ensure we get to grips with the social housing shortage, particularly in Uri. Uri is the perfect storm when it comes to the challenges in delivering social housing. Our city is unique in that it ticks almost every single box relating to challenge in getting social housing units built, from lack of sites, the topography and geography of the area, growing disabled need, a young population and needs that needs housed, and also one of the fastest growing older populations in the north. Given the scale of the problem in Uri and the full suite of challenges it faces in relation to social and affordable housing, it is hoped that the solutions that are unearthed at this proposed conference can and will be replicated throughout the region. While the conference will be local in the issues it will examine, it will be regional in some of the outcomes. It is hoped that the envisaged regional appeal of the conference will mean that we can extend invitations to the new Permanent Secretary for the Department of Communities and the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Housing Executive, who along with our own Council CEO would make up three of the keynote speakers. While we still have some work to do in pulling the conference together, I believe there is a need for workshop and group discussion sessions that will look at the key challenges we face in Uri and District and across the North. These workshops will be tasked with coming up with solutions that are imaginative, forward-thinking and collaborative. Chair, the scale of the housing crisis in this district is quite simply breathtaking. The figures speak for themselves. Statistics I have received from the Housing Executive based on projected need at March of this year shows that we need a minimum of 700 units in Uri City alone to meet the current housing need, though I am led to believe that that in real-term figures is closer to 1,000 units if we are to deal with the problem properly. District-wide, the figure sits at 1,844, but in real terms, that figure could go to well over 2,000. If we break the official figures down, and they're conservative in their estimation. It looks like that we are looking at 706 applications for housing in Uri City for the period of March 2017 to March 2018. Of those 706, a total of 573 applicants were deemed to be in housing distress or effectively homeless. The total number of houses allocated was a paltry 66. District-wide, the numbers are 3,166 applications, of which 2,388 are in housing stress, and a grand total of 430 allocations. Chair, these figures highlight the terrible extent of this housing crisis in this district, and in particular in Uri. As a Uri councillor who represents some of the most deprived wards in the north, and who witnesses how an inability to secure a home can lead to so many of the social problems in our city, I can no longer stand by and allow this to continue. Tonight, we as councillors are speaking up for the citizens of this city and district who have just as much a right to a decent home as the people who live in Ballymena, Belfast, Lisburn or any other area of the north. Enough is enough. It is time for us to take action and a time for everyone to put their shoulders to the wheel in tackling this mounting problem. The conference is the first step in getting sustainable solutions that result in the people we represent being able to get a place they can call home. Chair, I want to pay tribute to the local staff at the Northern Ireland Housing Executive. The staff in Uri are quite simply exemplary. I can't fault them at all. They go way above and beyond the call of duty to try and help people. The bottom line is that we don't have the stock and have been asked to do an impossible job, and I think the Department of Communities have an obligation to come and play a lead role in this conference because they're the department that oversees the Housing Executive and they need to hear it firsthand the extent of the need in Uri and District and to step up to the plate and work with us all in providing collaborative solutions to the problem. They have an obligation to their staff and their management to be seen to be looking at collaborative housing solutions. This conference is an opportunity for all the stakeholders to show their commitment in trying to tackle the housing crisis in this city and district. We need to explore all options and even consider a revived living above the shop scheme similar to that that is currently being proposed in England. Uri should be considered for bespoke pilot schemes, and the Department of Community should look at the city as a unique case and be prepared to think outside the box and work with the NIHE, developers, planners and housing associations to come up with 21st century solutions. The right to home is a fundamental human right. We have an obligation to our people to ensure that this human right is upheld. As Nelson Mandela said, to deny people their human rights is to challenge their very humanity. We need to act swiftly so that the whole generation that we currently see at the minute are not been left behind without a home. To quote Martin Luther King Jr., a right delayed is a right denied. Chair, I propose the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Walker. Councillor Walker, are you second on the proposal?
Yes, Chair. I delighted to second this motion. First and foremost, I think it's great, and I welcome this motion coming forward on a cross-party basis. The reason being is that as elected representatives right across this council, we're approached on a daily basis in relation to the lack of social housing in the area. Now, I concur with everything that Councillor Savage has said in relation to social housing within the district. There is not one part of this district that is not in need of social housing, whether it be Uri City, whether it be Newcastle, or whether it be Rowan. We do need this meeting. We need to pull all the housing associations along with the Housing Executive together. We need to be robust with them, so we do, and in relation to social housing. We need to have the statistics for right across this whole district as to what housing need is needed in Rowan, for example, or Uri. We've heard the councillor stating that it could be 1,000 houses in Uri. Well, you could find over the Rowan area, you could be maybe talking 150, so you could 200. I think a big problem here was when the Housing Executive a number of years ago ceased building their own properties and having their own stock, and that I think that was a big menace. So it was, and it was then farmed out to housing associations in relation to that. We have a number of housing associations that are competing against each other for funding. So we have, in the old days, it was the housing executive got the block grant of funding for each region and built the properties. And at times, if you would remember, they'd maybe purchased a field and built 60, 70, upwards maybe of 100 properties in that one location, which was great for the people within the different areas. Now, we need to look at different approaches. And one of the approaches that I've been trying to deal with in my own Rowallan area, and particularly Killalea, is sheltered accommodation. Our elderly are living longer. A lot of our elderly are living in three-bedroom properties. Maybe one person living in it, maybe just two people living in it, if it's still a man and wife. And that. But a lot of these people, I've done a survey in my own area, where a number of people have said they would like to go into sheltered accommodation but stay within that area. That would free up social housing if they went to sheltered accommodation. Now, I have two prime sites in Killalea with planning permission and all granted in areas. Housing associations seem to be lackadaisy. You give them that information and they're not acting upon it. So I think this is a good opportunity to get us all in the one room and start being positive about it. Yes, they come and give their annual presentation to us every year, and then that's the last you see of them until the following year. I think we need to get solutions here in relation to it, and I think this is the perfect opportunity in doing that, and our party is supporting the motion. I'm glad to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Highland.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think everybody in this room would agree that housing is a basic human right that each and every one of us should enjoy. When I was growing up as a young fellow, when I got married in the early 20s, there was a housing executive that I went to looking for to get my foot on the rung of the social ladder. But that, unfortunately, is being denied to so, so many people nowadays. And it's leading to build up of housing. Far too many people sleeping in one house because they simply haven't got a roof over their heads and are forced to do so. And the problem isn't just confined to Newry, but every area, every this part of this district has housing needs and housing problems and needs housing solutions to hopefully that we can provide. Newry, however, with over 700 people on the waiting list, is a massive issue and a massive problem for that area. And we need to get our heads around as local representatives, as local councillors, to try to find solutions for those people who so desperately need housing. And hence, I, on behalf of the independent group, do welcome this motion. I think it's a very appropriate and timely one. And we'll certainly be backing it to the hilt. I'll just say, because I know other people wish to come in and make comments on it, but I think it's a very important motion. I think everybody in the chamber here tonight should support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Heron. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. I was very happy to put my name in support of this motion, and again, obviously my party colleagues will be supporting it. It's very clear that there is a crisis, you know, in availability of social housing. As already has been referred to, Dan Daly, you know, we all receive representations from people who require housing, but unfortunately we find ourselves in a situation where there is that lack of resource and people are sitting on waiting lists, not only for weeks and months, but in many cases years, because of the lack of availability that there is in terms of that, in terms of social housing across the district, not just in Newry, but across the district. And certainly there is a need for a strategy to be developed. And we as councillors have a very prominent role to play in that. And this symposium that's planned would certainly be a step in the right direction to achieving that. But again, we need everybody to buy into this, particularly the housing associations and housing executives. And again, there's an issue about funding. You know, that's a major issue that can't be ignored.
where that needs to be obviously been made available to ensure that we can meet the demand that exists. But so we're certainly very happy to support the motion, and I hope that we can make some progress fairly quickly on this, whenever this symposium takes place.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yes, very happy to support and have the Lions Party. And again, thank you to Councillor Savage for bringing it to the council and also making it a cross-party motion. It doesn't have to be an expert in housing issues, which I am not, to understand that there's an issue within housing, which we have in this area. I think every councillor here would be acutely aware of the housing need and the trauma with which some people undergo in this regard, and the numbers of new units needed right across the board, from town, cities to rural hamlets, I think is pretty shocking. What I hope to come to look at really, the range of capacity of houses and units being built. You know, certainly there's a shortage, as mentioned, about single bedroom units. And also really, again, that's been said as well about highlighting the various agencies to either act individually or collectively in order to move the problem forward. It's much too big an issue for one agency or a silver bullet. And developments that are in shared housing, you know, shared housing developments and how they are established and successfully managed. Although it also highlights the economics of the issue. When I was doing a bit of reading about it, the question was, what is the concept of market failure? And give an example, and quite simply, the answer was housing. So, you know, what we'll have here is a failure of the market to deliver the most basic of needs, a home. And, you know, the reason is it's not a profitable area to invest in, and similarly, this, you know, flows into people having to go in the private sector, which effectively excludes the most economically vulnerable from accessing this. So, yes, very happy to support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor McGorry. Councillor Tenley. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I agree with all the previous speakers, Chairman. Councillor Savage has touched on it. Councillor Walker also. This is a district-wide problem, Chair, that is, I think, long past a crisis point. In our own DEA of Crotlieve, our most recent meeting, we were informed that the projected need of between 2017 and 2022, 275 units, Chairman. Out of that number, 8 are complete and 4 are under construction. So those two numbers combined is coming in at just over 4% of the projected need. And I would maintain, Chairman, that those waiting lists aren't even accurate. They're probably very, very conservative numbers. Because when people realise they're not going to waste their time putting a name on a waiting list when they know there's going to be no houses built. You would need to be without hearing and without sight to realise what's going on the housing crisis in the Republic of Ireland. And we would be very naive to think that eventually is not going to come this side of the border, especially since these vulture funds started to get their teeth into homeowners and personal mortgages. So it's only a matter of time before this crisis actually gets way beyond a tipping point. There's no return. The big issue, Chairman, with the housing associations is they're competing with private developers when it comes to purchasing development land. And they have a much more limited budget and can't get carried away in auctions, and that probably does not help the matter. So this housing symposium, I think our planners actually have a very important role here to play as well. We have to find some methodology. As Councillor Hyland has highlighted, we have to step into the gap here as a local authority and not just give this crisis lip service, but actually be seen to be doing something proactive about it. And that has probably become very, very much more important since the collapse of Stormont and no sign of it coming back. The leadership has to come from a local level. So we need to do something about this, Chairman, as a local authority. Whether it's incentives can be given to builders or whether land can be zoned specifically for social housing. And then the issue there is a landowner wants to maximise the value of their land. So there's problems, but the solution to every problem Chairman. So I am more than delighted to support the motion. Thank you.
No, Councillor Clark. And you were on, Councillor Casey. Are you on to speak in this motion? Yes, we're no one working. Councillor Hannah.
Here, well,
all right, thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank Michael for pulling the motion together and getting the cooperation of all the political parties. I just asked the proposer to include two other areas, main towns, Newcastle and Warren Point, in the motion, just following Uri, because I want to bring that emphasis to them towns also, because they're a real chronic need in them areas. Helping, mate. Thanks very much for that, Grandmorgan. Just in regards to the overall generic picture for our area, there is a chronic shortage of social affordable houses. Indeed, the 5-year assessment from the Housing Executive from 2017-22 are estimating that we need 1,959 units are required across the district, and the vast number will be in them three areas. So there is a serious crisis. I think Councillor Tinley touched on it, and that could get a lot worse. Currently, we're sitting, interest rates are low, but with Brexit and other issues, interest rates could rise. People could lose jobs. So there'd be a greater need for social housing as we move forward. And we have to prepare for these eventual outcomes if they do happen. The main units that are required is for single older persons, small families. 86% of the housing stress waiting list is made up of that them groupings. It's difficult for housing associations to compete with the private sector. All statutory bodies, they need to make disposable assets available for social housing, and through the community planning partnership, that work has currently been looked at. The local development plan offers a good opportunity in the future moving forward to ensure that we do have adequate land zoned for social housing as we move on, and affordable housing also as we move on in the future. If we look at the chronic need in my own hometown in Newcastle, there's 361 applicants on the housing list. There's 280 applicants in housing stress, and there was 39 allocations. So that gives you an idea of the complexities meeting people. And with the reality for people, and we see them every day as elected representatives, our offices see them every day, it's the single biggest issue that we would face. And it's very, very frustrating when you're talking to a parent with a number of young children living in squalor, living in damp, cold housing, not fit for this century. Mushrooms and mold growing on the walls, can't heat their homes, water running through the houses. This is the stark reality that people are living in, because they'll take a house no matter what the condition of the house. It's only when they move into the house they realise it's not livable. But yet, there doesn't seem to be a protection for people. Housing benefits are paid out, and yet the inspections seem to be failing these people. And when you go on to the estate agents, the people who are managing these properties, they're very difficult to get the works carried out moving forward. And so all these issues, I think, need to be discussed at the conference and the symposium. I think it's an excellent idea to bring everybody together so we can deliver change and make change in our communities. Living above the shops, as mentioned, and I think in all these towns there's an opportunity for that. And there's 16, I'm glad to say there's 16 units in Donard Street in Newcastle. They're being allocated at present, and that would be town centre sort of development. Now, there was a lot of opposition to that type of development being built in the town centres. But looking at the property and the way it's been set up, it is really an excellent housing programme, particularly in people with disabilities and people with other health issues. There's lifts in the apartment block, a really first-class building programme. But when that was brought forward, the political parties were, a lot of the political parties were opposed to it. And we need to bear responsibility when social housing projects are brought forward, that there's not the NIMBYism, and that we have to show strong leadership and moving forward. That if we're serious about social housing being developed, when the proposals come forward, we need to be standing up and saying, yes, we need this. No point in going having a symposium and having a conference and then political parties are standing in opposition to it. We need to get real in regards to this. And I'm sure when the photographs come in the paper, when they're opening the one on Donald Street, the people opposed to it will welcome it. And that's the stark reality. But I think it's a great motion. Fully support.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. And I must say, I did look at the finished apartments in Donard Street there last week, and they have done a fantastic job, and just shows we were right to fall in a little bit behind that. Councillor Traynor.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to thank my colleague for bringing the motion to this chamber tonight. Maybe talking from, because I know that a lot of talks have been on Uri and other parts of the district, but maybe touching on my own area, certainly in Downpatrick and further north in the area, we've been quite lucky lately in that we have had significant development in Downpatrick. At the minute, we have the old Down Hospital site, which is being developed into social housing. So in Downpatrick, in the future, in the immediate future, whilst there's a need that's being met, we have to look further again. We have to always be looking further ahead. And I suppose with the changing in demographics, and as I think Councillor Clark would well point out there, that a lot of the social housing is for older people, it's for single units. With our demographics changing, with people living to be a lot older, we do have to look at more single units. And certainly in the Downpatrick area, we have to be looking at a lot more single units. So I welcome this conference, and I hope that it will look strategically 5-10 years into the future, and to try and put the building blocks, the foundations in now, and not to be reactive. We have a great sense of being reactive here in the north of Ireland. I think we have to be proactive, and this is a great conference to allow us that chance to be proactive.
Thank you. Councillor Savage, you like to sum up?
Yes, Chair. I'd like to thank all the speakers and all the parties for their overwhelming support for the motion. I think it's abundantly clear that we're sending a message out tonight that the more united we are politically in this, the stronger our voice will be, the louder it will be, and the more we will be heard. I think this conference is a statement of intent from this council that we're no longer prepared to accept the status quo. We're not prepared to allow the people we represent to be left behind by a system that has allowed something we all took for granted 20 years ago now to become so much out of most of our people's reach, the right to a home. It wasn't good enough 50 years ago. It's certainly not good enough in 2018. I'd like to thank Johnny McBride for the initial work he did in looking at the viability of pulling a conference like this together before I went to my councillor colleagues to see if we could propose this motion. And I'd ask the officers responsible for taking this forward to ensure they do their best to ensure that we have the highest level of representation from the department responsible for housing and hold the budget, which is the Department of Communities. I think it's vital that they get to hear at first hand the views of a united voice from our councillors in Newry, Mourne and Down. I'm sure reps from all the parties will be happy to feed into that development of the conference going forward, and I welcome that. This is a cross-party motion, and I'm very proud that the councillors have come together tonight to listen to an issue that we all know our people want us to tackle. And I look forward to the conference, and I thank my colleagues again for their support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So everyone in agreement? Yeah. Okay. The notice of motion requested by Councillor O'Reilly has been withdrawn. So with your agreement, we'll move on to the notice of motion to the restoration of the Ulster Way from Killay to Strangford via Downpatrick from Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Order, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll start by reading the motion. The loss of the Ulster Way section from Killalea to Downpatrick and hence to Strangford was a huge blow to East Down in 1989. Since then, the council staff have promised to reassert off-road links to recreate these vital routes, but it's not been prioritised. Council now resolves that this work needs to be prioritised on a cross-departmental basis to have any hope of success within a reasonable timescale. The Policy and Resources Department and their legal team need to ensure off-road links are restored, enforced and maintained, or that necessary Section 12 declarations under the Countryside Order are put in place. The Active and Healthy Department needs to target key routes for community trails between Cleef, Strangford, Saul, Killalea and Downpatrick to ensure we have an off-road network that is worthy of being adopted as a waymark trail. The Enterprise, Regeneration and Tourism Department needs to strategically link up these community trails to waymarked trails on a regional basis. We will need to apply to have the section of the Lochale Way recognised once again as the Ulster Way, all the way to Killalea, around the southern banks of Strangford Lock and across the Coyle. Chairperson, only a cross-departmental team with a clear mandate can reconnect the tourism jewels that we have in East Down. Delamont Park, the 4 kilometre Coyle River Walk, Castle Ward Estate, the east and southern coasts of Strangford Lock, the Mound of Down in Jabby, the settlements of Killalea, Downpatrick and Strangford all used to be connected by the Ulster Way. Council in action during the late 80s and 90s made the route inaccessible, and finally the official status of the Ulster Way was withdrawn from these sections in 2009. Walkers are now informed by the official guide when they arrive in Strangford that they're to get the bus up to North Down. Chairperson, to reconnect Delamont and Castle Ward has little cost. It requires Council to use its powers at Council Old Mullock Quay and at Castle Island Road and to negotiate with NI Water over Hare Island. The routes to Downpatrick require us to negotiate with the DOE in the same manner we negotiated the existing river walk 35 years ago, plus some boardwalks in the same manner that we implemented 35 years ago for the existing Coyle River Walk. Chairperson, I recommend this motion to Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Walker, are you seconding the motion?
Yes, Chair. It gives me privilege to second the motion, and I concur with everything that Councillor Enright has said. Just a number of weeks ago, there was a consultation in relation to Delamont Country Park, which I have to say, I was overwhelmed with the support that that consultation got. Within that day, number of people that were speaking to me that day had actually hit upon that, you know, years ago there used to be a walkway round through that way. You could go through to Downpatrick, Steamboat Quay, round the Delamont and on round into Killalea, and that's no longer the case. I do know that we already have work in progress in relation to walking trails. I think we've started in the Steve Crib area, so we have, and it's going to work its way through the other DEAs. Well, I think this is a perfect opportunity that we can tie this walkway from Downpatrick to Delamont into that. It's something I believe that would bring more people to Delamont Country Park along that way. And, you know, I think it makes good sense to do that. You know, you only have to look at the Cumber Greenway and that. and the way that's expanding, and that you only have to look at the walkways there that has recently been opened down in Newry, and that all good positive work, the work that's been done in and around Slieve Croob, I think this is an opportunity here to get this walkway along the beautiful route of Thankford Lock opened again. And I think we could do it and not costing much money. It wouldn't cost much because a lot of it is there. Some areas you maybe need a couple of just boardwalks that'll get you through. Some of the wetland areas there and that. But I believe that this is a win-win situation, and that's why I said I would second the motion and jointly put this motion in with Councillor Enright. I know Councillor Enright is very passionate about the Ulster Way, walking trails, etc. and that. And I think it would be a shame on the council if they didn't support this, because we're encouraging people to be healthy, to get out and walk, to go to our leisure centres and that. Well, here's a perfect opportunity where people can walk along the scenic route along Strangford Lock to Delamont and that, and spend the day in Delamont and then walk back, particularly in the summer months. So I'm supporting, and our party supporting, the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. And wouldn't it be wonderful if that section was opened in time for my sponsored walk in May to Delamont? Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. The FDLP welcomes tonight's motion that has been presented for debate. And we've all seen changes in people's attitudes towards healthy lifestyles, like be it walking, running, or cycling, amongst others. This part of the district possesses so many excellent natural and scenic qualities. From Dalmat, I'm very passionate about Dalmat, no call to go on anything more, but apart from getting a good fried down there, I do enjoy a good walk around Dalmat, and I do highly recommend it to go to Dalmat. Not for the fries, but to enjoy the many scenic visions and views. It's a beautiful treasure, and it's so much potential, and I'm glad that consultation is well and truly underway. We're leading on to the Coyle Basin, an area that is open to so much potential for anglers, the walkers, etc. The infrastructure, the Coyle Basin is crying out for much-needed improvements and enhancements. More could be added there. And on a trail out to Strangford, going through the cradle of Irish Christianity through St Patrick's country, you know, and right enough, when you think of all that there, the spin-off to our district would be highly positive. Potential to bring more visitors to the district, more rooms in the district, you know, to existing ones, you know, demand and supply, and also would strengthen and underline the call for a new hotel in the district. And the fact is, with so many cruise ships coming into the area that are in the Belfast, that those visitors who come to Down Patrick could stay over and enjoy what's on offer in our district. You could go on and on. This motion tonight is a kickstart in the right direction. In addition to community trails, we could be looking at other options and working in tandem and providing walking trails and enhancing the Coyle Basin and right out through to Strangford, you know, so that everyone, no matter what they're into, can enjoy. And I say, with the more visitors, lead to more bed space being supplied. And again, as I reiterated, it would underline the need for a new hotel. This is a stepping stone in the right direction, and I'm making calls for the ERT director to strategically line up. This is also the perfect opportunity that I believe that this council could also join up with departments and agencies in enhancing the likes of the Coyle Basin, the trail out to Dalamont, out to Strangford. There's a lot of good reasons, and that's the rationale that I believe in and would be behind the support for this motion. As I say, this is our contribution to tonight's debate, and we will be supporting the motion as a party. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Sharvin, you weren't at our group meeting.
I wasn't, Chair.
You wouldn't be aware that we had agreed that we'd have one speaker per motion.
I do apologise for that. So tonight, obviously I'll speak, given that I wasn't there.
Well, if you want to speak, then we'll have to open it to the floor for everyone. So,
was it open to the floor to all parties? Obviously all parties and all councillors can speak. So, yeah, Chair, first of all, just a point of accuracy on the motion in relation to the Active and Healthy Communities Department. As Councillor Walker has mentioned, there is already work underway, not just in Slieve Croob, but also within the Downpatrick DEA area, both in Saw, Caliph, Tignan in Rahulp, Audley's Town, and Strangford. So I think it should be highlighted that already the department, including myself as chair and councillor of the local area, are already working with groups and clubs to open up and expand on community trails within the area. But I do fully support the restoration of the Ulster Way, and I do think it'd be very useful. But I would also ask that in the third point under linking up with these community trails, that also we include St Patrick's Way and Lochiel Way, which would also expand the ways off in the Downpatrick area particularly. So I think that would definitely need to be included. It's not just the Ulster Way that needs to be promoted more. The St Patrick's Way and the Lochiel Way also need to be included.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin, and we are doing work to expand on the St Patrick's Way and Columbanus Way.
Yes, Chair, you and I have many discussions about these Ulster Ways, walkways, many times. We in the Unionist Party will support this, but I think we have killed it dead with two words tonight in this motion. One is enforcement. That is not helping. Restore and enforcement is the two words that's going to kill us dead, because the minute this disappears in the paper on Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, I have no doubt the Ulster Farmers Union will be getting phone calls as if the phone has never ever been invented. It'll never stop ringing. Because it happened, this is the last time when they tried to do the greenways. Nobody has consulted with the landowners. And they've went the wrong way about this again. This has been tried many a time in the old Down Council. Margaret Ritchie has tried this one time before and appeared in the paper before they consulted. Eddie Reid on the very same thing. Tried the same thing. Put it in the paper first. And here we're away the night again, the wrong road again. If we had went to the policy or went to the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Department and consulted the people first, I think we could have got round it. But you only have to look at where some of these walkways are. There's a lot of problems, especially with the farming community, because people take their dogs, they let them run about three sheep, they let them run, especially this time of year. It causes a lot of problems. And they can bring it at this time of year is the wrong time to bring it. I think there should be a bit more thought put into it. I'm not against this, because I do use a lot of greenways and a lot of those ultraways. I've walked many of them. And that's the most beautiful part of the world, down in the Stankford. But why you would do it this way, I have no idea why councillors tries for a short-term gain of a bit of PR in the paper, bringing it here, instead of getting the homework done first. But we will support it, because I would like to see it happen. But the consultation needs to take place first with the landowners. There's parts of it can be done with departments, but there's still a lot of it needing to be talked out with the farming community. Chair, I'll leave it at that.
Thanks very much, Councillor Burgess. Sorry, you can... Right, Councillor Walker. Councillor Casey. Councillor Walker. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I think what Councillor Burgess is saying is right, because I remember this at the Legacy Council, the Down Council, and we used to talk about it every year. There was issues about landowners. So I think we do, part of this has to be obviously consulting with landowners. It's vitally important moving anything forward. But there has been a lot of work carried out, outdoor recreation, and I, you know, we've carried out a lot of consultations and right across our whole council area. So there's a lot of good information and a lot of data there. I think it's vitally important to have, you know, a good green off-road network. And I think we're blessed with the amount of rights of ways that we do have. And I think that's very important. It's very important for the community. It's very important for well-being, mindfulness, connecting with nature. Also for
encouraging young people as well to know about their rights of ways and their town lands and connecting town lands is very, very important also. And I think it's very important to encourage residents to participate in green networks and in regards to even foraging. I think it's an important aspect of community life. But what benefits local people benefits tourists. You know, so whatever the locals are getting out of it, then the tourists can benefit also. So we support the motion, but there is, we know from the Greenway consultations and discussions about trying to move them to priority greenways in our area, the Newcastle into Dunpatrick. There is issues with landowners there as well, you know, so we have to be realistic in regards to this. But I thank the proposer for bringing the motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Enright, would you like to sum up?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. Picking up on the points made respectively by Councillor Sharvin, the route actually implies that we are taking up Rahalpstall and Ballystokes. The St. Patrick's Way is the circular route for those areas, and if we restored the Ulster Way, they would be once more connected both to, in the Stranraer direction, the Delamont Park direction, and the Downpatrick direction. So it's not necessary to include it because it would inevitably happen. The difficulty there is the maintenance of routes, which is something that's fallen off in the last couple of years in that particular area. Picking up on Councillor Burgess's point, there are no choke points along this route that are affected by farmers. Farmers haven't had anything to do with the closure of the places. One place is a yacht club, another is a private house. The farmers, as far as I can see, and I've just written a book on this, Councillor Burgess, the farmers in each and every village along the route were very glad to see this way being proposed once again. And if you buy my book, it's only £3, you'll be able to see the farmers standing by me looking for this route to be restored. So, contrary to what you're saying, the farmers are not responsible for the closure of this route.
So, I thank you very much for my copy of it, Councillor Enright. So, is everyone in agreement? Everybody in agreement, yeah? Yeah, okay. Councillors, before we finish up, can I just mark an historic, maybe, occasion, or sad occasion for us tonight, and hopefully a happy one, and the beginning of a new adventure for one of our staff members. This is Eileen's last full council meeting tonight. So I show your appreciation for Eileen. I could even get a signed copy of that book for Eileen. Okay, councillors, I think that's us.
Happy Christmas.
Yes, happy Christmas to you all, and a peaceful new year.